You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. Great Monday episode for you guys today. We're going to talk with Mark Giannotto from the Commercial Appeal, who covers the Grizzlies over there as a columnist. Also, it's a radio show on ESPN 92.9 from 2 to 4 every single day with Jeffrey Wright over there. So we'll talk to him about Mike Conley. We'll talk to him about Jonas Valanciunas and everything Grizzlies related coming up in the second and third segment of the show. But first, make sure you go and subscribe to this podcast and the new Himalaya podcast app. Great sponsor of this show. Or just go find it on Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, literally wherever you get your podcast from, it is available there. So go do that. Go subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies so you don't miss an episode. Also, if you have a moment, please go rate and review this show on iTunes. It really helps the show, and it really helps our rankings in the iTunes App Store. So go ahead and get that done. It's appreciated, and make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Last time we talked was last week. The Toronto Grizzlies, it feels like, but the Raptors, Marc Gasol, won the NBA Finals. It was pretty cool scene, being able to see Marc Gasol up there as a Memphian winning a Finals game. I thought it was cool. I mean, yes, Kyle Lowry was a Grizzly at one point too, but I think it's very different with Marc Gasol because he is so ingrained in this community, and so he's just such a part of it. You see a lot of people on social media, and I think a lot of people just like to hate on Mark. Yes, there were times where it was very frustrating to watch Mark play. There were times where he just should have just shot the ball. There are a lot of those times, quite frankly, that he should have just shot the ball, and it was very difficult to watch at times. But at the same time, he has done a lot for this team. He was responsible, him as well as Mike and Zach and Tony is responsible for literally the best run this franchise has ever seen. Now, this franchise isn't old, but at the same time, it's the best portion of this franchise that has ever seen. And Marc Gasol is a big, big part of that. For a long time, he had Zach Randolph to be there along with him to not have to depend on Mark to be the go-to guy. And as we all know, Mark is not that person. He never has been. And for a long time, Zach Randolph was there to cover that up and to be that guy to take all the shots when Mark didn't want to do it or wanted to pass the ball, wanted to give up those shots. All those times, Zach Randolph was there to cover it up. And obviously, we've seen the last couple years, Marc Gasol just isn't the guy to be able to take all the shots for a franchise. So putting him in a position with the Raptors where he doesn't have to be that person, he can just do what he likes to do and do what he is good at. And make no mistake about it, Marc Gasol was very instrumental in helping them get to the finals. He didn't have a good game on Thursday. He didn't have a good game when they won the championship. But that's not to say he didn't have good games in the finals. He had great games in the finals. He had great games leading up to the finals. He did exactly what they thought he was going to do for them. He was exactly what the Raptors traded for. He's exactly why they gave Jonas Valanciunas, who was a black hole when he got the ball, and got someone like Marc Gasol, who made everybody better around him. So he is exactly what they needed to win the championship. And not to say that he is the reason why, because he's not. But he was a big part of it. And it was very cool, on some level, to see a person that you have watched for so many years and watched be good at basketball for so many years and watch take this Memphis Grizzlies team to a whole nother level for so many years. There's a reason why. It's just cool to see. You'll see a lot of people that like to hate on Mark. You'll see a lot of people on social media that like to bag on Mark. And the whole idea of the parade was a big topic and covered on local news. Like, yeah, that's funny. And it's probably untrue why you're not going to have a parade for Marc Gasol. But at the same time, just go out and be happy for Mark. Go out and be happy for a local Memphian that was able to do something that there's very, very few people get to do and win a world championship in the NBA. Very, very few people get to do it. And I'm not sure there's not a whole lot of people that are from Memphis or, that have done it. I mean, Mark grew up in this city. His big brother Powell was here with the Grizzlies. He was going to high school in the city. He grew up as a teenager in this city. So like, there's a reason why people say he's from Memphis, because he's been here for so long already and played almost all of his basketball career in this city. So it's pretty cool to be able to see Marc Gasol win a championship with the Raptors. And I guarantee you at the start of this year, there was no way he would have ever thought that that was going to be the end of his year. You start on a team with the Grizzlies who are good and then bad pretty quickly right away, that they're going to be bad this year, even with Jaren Jackson Jr. But you start on a team like that, you get traded to a team like the Raptors, and you go from being with the Grizzlies and knowing they're just not very good this year, probably unhappy, especially after the fact that came out that they were going to shop you publicly. The way it went down was not very good from the Grizzlies side of things. All that happening, and then you get traded to a Raptors team, and you end up winning the championship. And it's just it's got to be a roller coaster of a ride for Marc Gasol, and then, quite frankly, Mike Conley as well. Mike Conley started in the same boat, had the same stuff happen to him, and ends up obviously in a much, much different scenario for Mike Conley than Marc Gasol. So shout out to Marc Gasol for winning a championship. Again, he wasn't the sole reason for the Raptors. It's Kawhi Leonard, because Kawhi Leonard is amazing. But at the same time, Marc Gasol did have something to do with it. Pretending like he didn't is just silly and not true. So go out and be happy for Marc Gasol. Go out and be happy for a fellow Memphian winning an NBA championship and doing something awesome and doing something that very, very few people have done. Coming up after the break, we will talk to Mark Giannotto, columnist for The Commercial Appeal. He also has a radio show here, 2 to 4 every single day on 92.9 ESPN. You can catch it there. So stay tuned after the break. We'll talk to him next. The Locked On NBA Mock Draft is underway. The local experts in every single one of their draft rooms. Jeremy Wu of SI.com is on staff with every single player breakdown. Josh Lloyd of Locked On Fantasy Basketball is here with Fantasy Basketball Breakdown. All of it, I'll check it out. All of it on Locked On NBA. Welcome back to the show. Another great guest for you guys. Commercial Appeal columnist Mark Giannotto. What's going on, man?
Not much. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man, I wanted to have you on. It's first time on the show, but I appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you taking the time. I want to have you on. We were all at the Taylor Jenkins press conference last week. You had a great article on with the Commercial Appeal about the idea that they are ready to rebuild. I thought that was interesting as well in the press conference that they didn't necessarily say that, and I don't think they're ever going to. But do you think that this moves them in the right direction with Ja Morant and allowing Mike Conley to kind of move on and them officially, unofficially starting to rebuild?
I hope so. I was hopeful coming out of that press conference, you know, like right. They didn't use the R word, as I put it in my column, but the way they talked seemed like it just seemed different than the way they've talked in the past. First of all, I thought it was notable the phrase grit and grind was not mentioned one time during that press conference. No. And so that I thought that was very interesting. And then just the way they talk, you know, Zach Kleiman going, we're not going to say we're going to win X amount of games, which, you know, a year ago, Robert Parra said the exact opposite.
Right.
He actually gave a number of how many games he thinks they could win. You know, he said, we're going to take the long view on this hire. They used a lot of buzzwords that would suggest they are more aware of where they are as a franchise than maybe the previous regime was. And that's how I guess the best way to phrase it. Now, whether it's I don't think they're not going to be a tanking team. I think they've decided right. that tanking won't work in this market, and honestly, with the way the lottery works now, it doesn't seem like tanking is necessarily maybe the best move you can make as a franchise now but I just don't think I don't think we're going to be going into the season this year like we did this year, where Chris Wallace is going, you know, I think we're a playoff team, you know, I don't
right.
think, you know, to me it's more like a situation like Atlanta last year, a very competitive non-playoff team that is very competitive with, you know, you presume Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant leading the way, and kind of, you know, they may win fewer games next year than they did this past year, but I think
right.
I think there's a good chance we'll feel better about it because of who is part of who's sort of leading the roster. And then the Conley part, you know, I think is complicated in that I think it's a matter of when he gets traded, not if.
Sure.
And I am of the belief that Taylor Jenkins will never coach a game that Mike Conley plays in.
That's interesting. You say that about Mike Conley, because there's been a lot of talk about when do you trade the Mike Conley? Do you trade him to the draft or after free agency? I've always thought that the best course of action would be in free agency when some other teams strike out and they get a little bit more desperate or having a higher tier point guard on the roster. What do you think about the timing of the trade? Is it during the draft? Is it better to do it maybe in later in the free agency? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting dilemma. I think, on draft night, what you want, if you're a fan, what you should be looking for is there's, and I guess maybe they've been so quiet in this front office that it's hard to tell, but like, I wouldn't be shocked. I agree with you that, first of all, that trading him in July at some point is probably your best move. But say Thursday night, some player, say Bol Bol, say they really like Bol Bol. This is an interesting example. I don't know if they really like Bol Bol, but say Bol Bol is dropping in the draft and he's there at 16 or something when Indiana, I don't know what number, like say he's there when Indiana's picking or Detroit or any of these teams that have been rumored to be in the Mike Conley market, Utah, say someone like Bol Bol or someone else has dropped and the Grizzlies front office has decided this is a guy we really like. Do you pull the trigger then, in terms of trading Mike Conley so you can get a draft, another guy, another piece to put around Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. for the foreseeable future? I could see a scenario where that happens on draft. But I'm with you in that I think ultimately it'll probably happen in July. Now, the past week or so, I think, has really complicated things in that, now Anthony Davis is with the Lakers and they've made it clear they're going to go after Kemba Walker, it seems like. And, there's just a lot in flux free agency wise.
Right.
And it just depends, does Kawhi stay with Toronto? Does, where do all these guys land and who are the teams left with cap money and how do they want to spend it essentially? And I think a lot of us who were thinking about this July option were thinking of it in terms of, man, the Lakers, what if they strike out? They're going to be desperate to do something right with LeBron. And I don't know if they're on the table anymore because I sense now that they've got Anthony Davis, they're going to be able to add a point guard and free agency maybe, but maybe not. And then you look at their cap space situation, they might have only $24 million in cap space, in
right.
which case it makes a Conley deal a little more difficult. So I'm fascinated to see how it plays out. And I think a lot of it also depends, like going back to that Taylor Jenkins press conference, when I asked Zach Kleiman, I asked him, I go, we heard a lot about vision today, even though there weren't a lot of specifics about the vision.
Right.
And I said, how does Mike Conley fit into that vision? And he almost talked about him in the past tense, like he was part of the vision in the past. But the thing I really read into was at the end of everything he said, Zach Kleiman said, we put significant value in Mike Conley. And I think that was a signal to us of what they're saying to the rest of the league. And I think it could be a complicating factor in getting a trade done. Like how much, and it was a complicating factor at the deadline, how much do they value Mike Conley? Will that be an inhibiting factor in getting a deal done? Because I sense that they probably view him more highly, just like Memphis, his whole career, Memphis has viewed him more highly than maybe the rest of the league has, whether that's justified or not, whether the rest of the league was justified in not thinking he was one of the best point guards or vice versa, whether Memphis was justified in thinking he is one of the best point guards in the league. I think there's a difference there and how they close that gap during these negotiations in terms of what they feel they should get in return is going to dictate a lot of things as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic because in one hand, there's so much volatility in free agency, like you mentioned. On one hand, you want to try to go ahead and get a trade partner that you have assets that you want back. Early before they sign someone else and they become, they just become non-existent as a trade partner because they are signed a point guard. Or do you wait until everything shakes out and those people who missed out on point guards might become a little bit more desperate and might be willing to part with some different assets. So it is a very interesting dynamic in that you just it could be beneficial, you know, really either way. So it'll be interesting. And like you mentioned, the Lakers, they quite frankly probably don't have any assets to give anymore. I mean, they've pretty much given up everything they're going to be able to get. So I don't know if the Grizzlies will be able to get anything back that they even want from the Lakers. So it is interesting to see that all these things coming, you know, evolving right now with Mike Conley. Is there anything that you've seen out there? I'm going to do a whole show on this tomorrow about Mike Conley trades, but I'll ask you while I have you. Any trades that you've seen out there that you were like, from past to present, you're just like, that would be the most ideal for the Grizzlies?
Ideal? Well, the trade that always intrigued me was Indiana, because it's a place Mike would want to go back to. He's from Indianapolis. He would make them, you know, I don't know if they'd be a true title contender, but Mike could talk with, if Victor Oladipo comes back healthy, Mike could talk himself into thinking that they're a title contender with him on it. And then I've always been intrigued by having a front court of Sabonis and Jaren Jackson Jr. I think that'd be an ideal trade. I don't know if Indiana will part with Sabonis like that for Mike Conley. But some of the trades I've heard, you know, like we've talked about it on my radio show, like, you know, Detroit, like the trade with Detroit would be Luke Kennard and a first round pick, and like, you know, essentially a mid first round pick. And like, that's where the whole dilemma comes in. Like, do you value, like, you know, to me, Mike Conley is worth more to the Grizzlies than that. Whether I'd pull the trigger on that trade or not, I'm not sure. But I know they view him as more valuable than that on the surface. But that might be the type of trade they're going to have to accept if they want to trade him. And so, like, the Utah trades have never really intrigued me. That's going to be the issue, is finding that trading partner where you can get – I think what they ultimately want are two – assets that they can really move forward with. And to me, the best case scenario is like getting someone like Sabonis, and then probably the more realistic situation, Sabonis and a first round pick, the more realistic situation is probably getting Luke Kennard in a first round pick. And so that's my dilemma in all this. You know, I just don't know if that, you know, you'd hope if you're giving up one of your franchise pillars, you're getting something to build around. But we just saw with the Marc Gasol trade, that's not necessarily the case, unfortunately. I'm just, you know, I'm just not sure. They've put themselves in a position here where they don't have a ton of leverage. It doesn't feel like the one thing of leverage they have is they can decide when to trade him. And I guess they could keep him into the season if they really wanted to, but that feels risky to me. You know, if Mike gets hurt or Mike's play, you know, right now Mike looks like he's back, but what if he doesn't have a great first half of the year because he's, you know, because of all this talk. And so to me, you're risking it by going into the season with him and trading him at the deadline, let's say. So I don't know. To me, the trade though is I want two assets, essentially a young player and a draft pick. And then in exchange, you're giving them Mike Conley and maybe you're taking on a bad contract as well.
Right.
That to me is the framework of a deal.
I think you're probably right in the sense that the two assets have been my sticking point. I think a lot of people's sticking point on around the people who cover the team, just as far as what you probably going to get back. But I think it's interesting. I think I've seen the Sabonis thing tossed around a little bit. I just don't know if they're willing to give him up.
That'd be a good deal for the Grizzlies. And
it would be good. I just don't know if they're willing to do that. I know. I was just listening to Jeff Calkins' show before, as we record this at 10 o'clock. Just went to Jeff Calkins' show, and they had Steve Kyler from Basketball Insiders on. He mentioned Miles Turner, and I assumed that they would not want to give him up at all. But if they did that, I'd be willing to take Miles Turner from the Pacers.
That's a big contract, though.
Yeah, it is a big contract.
But at the same time, if they're thinking about giving Jonas Valanciunas decent amount of money, I mean, Miles Turner makes a little more than him, But at least Miles Turner.
But his timeline, his timeline is a little bit better with Jaren and all the other players. If you want to build a young core, he's only 23.
What I'm saying is I'd rather have Miles Turner than Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah, I absolutely
would. Like a 4-year deal.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. We're going to be back with more with Martin Giannotto from the Commercial Appeal. We'll talk Jonas Valanciunas coming up next. Welcome back to the show. Martin Giannotto, columnist with the Commercial Appeal. Also, you can catch his brand new radio show on 99 ESPN every single day with Jeffrey Wright from 2 to 4. Appreciate you joining me. Also, congrats on the new radio show. We didn't talk about that in the first segment, so congrats on that. Mentioned Jonas Valanciunas right before we took a break, and I want to talk about it with you as well because I think there's a lot to unpack here. And I saw you guys talk about this, and I listened to you guys on the show, and I'm pretty sure that we're on the same page in the sense that Jonas Valanciunas is a player that I think you can probably go out and get a different player that does a lot of the same things. First of all, he obviously declined. So what do you think in him declining there is behind that? I mean, obviously, I pointed out in my show last week that it was just either A, he obviously has some kind of framework of a deal in place, or B, he just doesn't want to be here. I lean more towards B, but I want to know what you think.
B, so you say he doesn't want to be here?
Yeah, my thing is like if he wanted the money, he could have had the money in an opt-in and extension. So there's a lot of things that I think would just lead to him just probably wanting to be somewhere else on a winning team, which is, you know, there's no shame in that. Obviously, that's not the Grizzlies next year.
Yeah. I tend to lean towards maybe the former, that there's some sort of framework. That there's been positive negotiations had
right.
already about a longer term deal. And I disagree with, well, to me, it's all about how much are you paying Jonas Valanciunas? Because like
sure.
as a $9 to $10 million player, he's a useful player. He showed that at the end of last year. I just don't want, and I actually don't mind paying him next year or even the year after that when the Grizzlies are clearly going to be rebuilding. I don't mind paying him $15 million those 2 years. It's like they're going to have
right.
to pay someone, and he seems to be a good locker room guy, and, you know, he seems to accentuate or he seems to cover up some of Jaren's weaknesses, especially like rebounding the ball.
Right.
But what I'm concerned about is if you're giving him a 4-year deal, like what is 31-year-old Jonas Valanciunas going to look like? To me,
right.
he's going to be a bench player on your team. And do you really want to be paying – more than like the mid-level exception to a bench player who doesn't shoot threes, isn't a good defender, but, you know, happens to be, you know, a good rebounder and sort of a nice post player, a good throwback player, essentially, and also kind of looks like a grizzly bear, which is, I guess, a plus.
Yeah, it's a requirement.
But That's the whole concern to me. I don't mind keeping Jonas Valanciunas, and I don't mind keeping him for multiple years. But to me, it's got to be at the right price. It's just because I don't think he's opting out of $16.7 million to earn $10 million. I don't
sure.
think he,
yeah.
that's the plan. And to me, I wouldn't pay him more than $12 million. And if I was the GM, I'd be sticking to $10 million. I'd be saying, I'll give you a 3-year, $30 million extension right now. So you'll get almost double what you were guaranteed in the opt-in. Maybe we'll go up to 32 or 33. So you can say he's getting almost basically double what he was getting with the opt-in. And then you
right.
have him as kind of a stabilizing force for 3 years. And then honestly, by year four, you would hope this team is like a, you know, playoff team again with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson. And you know, you move on from him or you bring him back on a really, you know, an even smaller deal because he'll probably be a role player at that point, a guy off the bench. But that's where I'm at. I think he's a useful player, but I'm with you in that. The one, I guess, concern is they're going to have to spend money somewhere the next
sure.
couple of years.
And I guess
so
my point
how do
is,
they end up doing that?
I
but
guess my point
I
is,
still I,
Go ahead. No, sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I just think his value is there's a ceiling on his value.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think you and I both landed at $12 million would be my max. I would offer $12 million, and I would just. I think you and Jeffrey mentioned on the show just walk away, and you can You could walk away from Jonas Valanciunas. It's not that big a deal. I mean, he's a role player. Yeah. Is what it is. And he's, I like Jonas. It was fun to cover. He's fun in the locker room. You and I are both in the same boat on that. But I guess where I landed was if the Grizzlies are going to offer him something like 330 or 335, something around those lines, why would you not just opt in and get the 17 and then extend for 2 years at 12 million or 10 million and make, you know, 45 or 3 years or whatever it is for 3 years and make way more. That's kind of where I talked myself into the fact that if he was going to be here for 3 years and wanted it long-term, you know, he could have had the money and the security in the same scenario and be fine. Which just made
The other part of this, we were talking about Taylor Jenkins. I don't sense just listening to Taylor Jenkins that Jonas Valanciunas fits the type of five he wants.
Yeah, he mentioned, what did you mention, popping and hopping or hopping and popping?
Hopping and popping. He wants the ball hopping and popping. He wants
several times.
Pace and space. He wants to be really good defensively. None of that suggests, none of that screams Jonas Valanciunas.
Right, right.
None of that does. I mean, we don't really know specifics about how he wants to play, but the hints he's given do not suggest that Jonas Valanciunas is an ideal fit for that.
Yeah, no, I mean, and my point too is, and I think you guys probably agree, but is if you walk away, can you not find what we described as the Grizzlies need someone to cover up for Jaren and rebounding, a decent defender, someone who could finish around? I mean, just go sign Joakim Noah back. I mean, at a much probably lower rate than you're going to spend on Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah, I think that's something to consider. Absolutely.
There's a lot of centers out there that I think can do what he does. I mean, because Jonas Valanciunas, while is a great player and an awesome guy, doesn't bring anything special. I mean, you say, I gotta have that. I just gotta have it, and that's why you get paid in this NBA is you bring something to the table that not all the people can do. And I think there's a lot of guys that can go out and rebound and, you know, defend, and he's not even a great defender in the pick and roll, but, you know, can be good around the rim. And so I think that you could probably do that at a much lower rate. But again, I'd love to have Jonas back just because he's fun, but I'm with you. At the right price, I think it's something different. Before I let you go, I want to ask you one thing. You were with Marcus Gasol's high school coaches when he won the finals. That was pretty cool. How much fun was that to just kind of see?
Oh, yeah, it was a lot of fun on Thursday night being with Jason Peters and the Lausanne coaching staff and just, you know, hearing them talk about Mark and his 2 years at Lausanne and just it was just fun being there, especially at the end of the game when they won and seeing just how much you could see why Mark mattered so much in this community because he just – like these guys hadn't, you know, like, I mean, they'd stayed in touch sort of with Mark over the years and, you know, but like Jason Peters hadn't talked to him basically in 2-3 years. But just to see the emotions of when Mark won, you could see how much of an impact he had made on their lives, just them being around each other. And it was just cool to see. And it was just, you know, it was just a moment in time that they'll never forget. And, It made the NBA Finals a lot more fun to watch this year. Just I know like there's some out there who, you know, have been, I don't know if resentful is the right word. Just like, you know, Mark's gone and they're done with him. But I just don't think the majority of Memphis that's the case. This guy made too much of an impact and ingratiated himself too much to the community for people to think like that. And I think all you had to do was be in that backyard on Thursday night, watching them watch Mark, and you realize just how special. Once again, it was just another reminder how special that relationship was between Memphis, Mark, and the rest of that core four during that run this past decade.
Yeah, it was definitely just cool to see. You know where, and I know there's a lot of people out there that are. Like you said, I don't know if resentful is the word. I don't know what it is. But at the end of the day, just got to be happy for a fellow Memphian. That's what Marc Gasol is. I mean, he grew up here. He's a guy that's, like you said, has touched in so many people in this community's lives just by one way or the other, just by being a kid here or just, you know, being an NBA player here. So it was definitely cool to see. Mark, I appreciate you joining me again. Go and catch Mark Giannotto every single day, 2-4 with Jeffrey Wright on 99 ESPN, or read his stuff over at commercialappeal.com. Man, I appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, man.